chapter 24, verse 13. And the Bible says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather here together today. And Lord, we certainly do want to remember those families, Lord, those ones that were killed this past week. And even though there's many, Lord, over time that pass each day, Lord, that certainly stuck out in our thoughts and our minds, Lord, but we're thankful we can be here today, and Lord, praise you. Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts as we go to your word, and I pray that every person here is aware of your presence here today. And Lord, we know without you, nothing will be accomplished. Lord, we put it into your hands, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This text, the title of the message this morning is Dead Skunks in the Middle of the Road. It'll make more sense to you here in just a second. Kind of a comical thing. It's not that long ago, it seems like I preached on the Emmaus Road disciples here recently, I think even a couple of times, but you know, the Bible is the living Word of God, and one thing I've found after pastoring for coming up on 19 years, studying the Word of God even longer than that, that you know, you can't exhaust the truths that are in the Bible, and I understand that more the more that I study the Word of God. We know about the disciples, the other disciples, and here we know about two. It said in verse 13, I kind of underlined that, it said two of them went that same day. This was the day that the crucifixion had taken place. The crucifixion had taken place, and then it was the day of the resurrection. And some of the disciples had ran down to the tomb early in the morning, and they saw that Jesus was gone. The tomb was empty, and they saw that you know. And then some of them even had seen the resurrected Christ. And but for some reason, these two disciples—we don't know where they were in the mix and all that. We don't even really know their names. But these two disciples missed it. They missed the resurrection. You know, even the crucifixion itself wasn't what any of the disciples expected. That just wasn't what they expected from Jesus, their Savior, the Messiah. They weren't expecting those things to take place, even though he had talked about it many times. And so the resurrection had taken place, and I thought there are two possibilities. One is that they either missed it completely, or they just didn't believe it when they heard the words that Jesus was resurrected. And verse 21, it says, I didn't read that far because, like I said, I just preached on it recently. But as the two disciples, Jesus showed up and spoke to them a little bit, and they didn't understand yet that it was him. And they said, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Now, and when they said, you know, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel," this is a picture of their faith. But when they said, besides all this, when they said that today is the third day since these things were done, here lies their doubt. You know, as I said a minute ago, some of the disciples realized or knew that Jesus had resurrected. We know that Mary ran down to the tomb. We know that Peter and John had run down to the tomb, and all that gloom and doom of the crucifixion was lifted when they were so excited. They ran. I said, Peter ran down there. And John ran down there, and Mary was excited. This resurrection news had excited them. But these two, it says they were disciples. They were followers of the Lord. Somehow they missed it or didn't believe it. And they were leaving Jerusalem, the place of the resurrected Christ, and they were heading to Emmaus, going home, probably where they're from, and they're walking along the road there. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. The first point there is the middle of the road. The middle of the road. You know, the middle of the road is a poor place to walk. It's a poor place to drive. It's even a poorer place to live. The only thing that you find in the middle of the road are dead skunks and dead possums. You ever wonder about that? You ever seen a skunk and a possum in the middle of the road right before you run over them? They're zigzagging around. It's like they can't decide which way they want to go. My wife, she always tries to miss them. And you end up running over them every time. You know, I just drive straight. Just keep going straight. I figure if he gets hit, it's the Lord's will. And if I miss him, you know, that was the Lord's will is too. I don't want to mess with the Lord's will on the matter. I just drive straight. You're not going to miss them. You know, they run back and forth. They used to have a joke about this. City people don't get it. Country people do. Why did the chicken cross the road? To prove to the possum it could be done. You tell that in a church in the city, they all go, they don't know what it is. You know, you always see the possum's always dead. It's like they never can make it across the road. But I believe the Emmaus Road disciples, these two disciples were, they were in the middle in more ways than one. I believe they were in the middle of the road. They were also in the middle between Emmaus and Jerusalem. And that is this, that they were in the middle between the place of the resurrected Christ and the old life. They were somewhere between that old life before salvation and getting to the very place of the resurrected Christ. And I want you to see this. I believe that there's more Christians at this place than just these two. There's so many Christian folks that, you know, they've kind of left the old life. They've gotten saved, but they haven't got all the way to living in the power of the resurrected Christ. They haven't lived their life in the power of the resurrected Christ. They're just somewhere kind of in between, and it's a bad place to be. It's in the middle of the road, in the middle of everything. It's just a bad place to be. You know, you're not happy. We notice if you know that story about the Emmaus disciples, they were sad. The Bible says they were sad. They were discouraged. They were disappointed. They were defeated. They didn't even know what they were going to do. They were just going somewhere. They were going back home, kind of really back to the old life, because listen, if you're not living your life in the power of the resurrected Christ, the only life you know is the old life, and they were kind of heading back to that point right there, and it's just a bad place. You know, you're going to get run over out there in the middle of the road one way or the other. The devil's going to come driving down the road in a big truck, and he's going to flatten you out there in the middle of the road. You know, in 1 Kings chapter 18, I believe it is, when Elijah stood at Mount Carmel, he asked all the people this question. He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? In the middle, right? He said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the Bible says that the people answered him not a word. You know why? They couldn't make up their mind. Amen. They couldn't decide. They just couldn't decide who. And they wanted to wait and see. You know, and I think a lot of people are doing that. Revelation 3:15, Jesus was speaking to the Laodicean church. He said, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot, neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. You know, paraphrasing that, but he said, because you're lukewarm, you know, you're somewhere in the middle. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And you know, you wonder, well, why? Why would it be better to be cold than lukewarm? I mean, hot's the best, but wouldn't lukewarm be good? No. Because if a person gets cold enough in their soul and spirit, they'll look for God. They'll seek God. They'll find some place where they're going to get fed from the Word of God. But if you get lukewarm, see, you're comfortable. Living at a comfortable 72 degrees, you think everything's okay. Feels good. Don't have to do anything. Everything's fine. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. He said, it makes me sick. That middle of the road Christianity, the middle of the road church, makes the Lord Jesus actually sick. He said, I'll spew thee out. I said a couple weeks ago, maybe last week, I can't remember, that the new color for the church is gray. It's gray. People don't want everything in black and white. They want to try to blend it up. Gray, gray's such a, I'm getting a gray suit on this morning. Illustration. It's kind of, actually, when I was looking for my tie, I said, you know, man, this isn't a very pretty bland tie for a gray suit. It's black and white, or black, got little crosses on it. You probably can't see that from there. I didn't realize what a good illustration this would be. God works this out. You know, the Bible uses the illustration of a shepherd and a flock. Now, you know, and we know how sheep, you get a bunch of white sheep, and every now and then you see a black sheep. And a black sheep really stands out in a whole flock of white sheep. But a black sheep doesn't stand out that good in a flock of gray sheep. It's less stark of a contrast. See, a lot of people like that. I'm going to get in a gray area somewhere. You know what? My sins aren't going to be so glaring. You know, I'll just blend in. Everything will look well. That's the whole thought there, that middle of the road attitude. We have a term, and it's incorrect today. It's called worldly Christians. Yeah, you've heard that term, right? They say, well, is this a worldly Christian? He's backslidden. He's a worldly Christian. Somebody said this. You might as well say that we have heavenly heathens as to say we have worldly Christians. Don't neither one of them really exist. Don't none of them really exist. I was talking to Harold Vaughn, evangelist Harold Vaughn, one time about that. I said, yeah, you know, some Christians believe, and we were talking about some of the world philosophy that's out there. I said, some Christians believe it. He said, no, they don't. No, they don't. What he meant was, not any real Christians do. Not any real Christians do. Jesus was real plain, real cut and dried. You know, he said this in Matthew 12:30. Listen to this. He said, he that's not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Listen, that's a pretty blunt statement. If you're not with me, you're against me. There's no middle of the road. A lot of people think they're neutral. Say, well, you know, I really haven't made a decision for Christ, but I'm not against him. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if you're not for me, he said, you're against me. It's just, he separates it. No gray, black and white. It's black and white. James said this, a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Not neutral, not in the middle. He said, if you're a friend of the world, if you love the world, you're an enemy. An enemy. Man, that's a strong word. Enemy of God. It's just plain. There's no gray area there. You know, we'll look at it in human relationship. If a man is faithful to his wife part-time, he's not faithful at all. Amen. Right? A man who is part faithful to his family, or part faithful to his country, or part faithful to his church is a traitor. There's no other middle ground. Divided loyalty is no loyalty at all. You can't be in the middle of the road about sin. Psalm 97:10 says this, ye that love the Lord hate evil. It's not like I'm kind of, you know, he asked Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? He said, well, you know, I'm fond of you. First word he used, I'm kind of fond of you. He kept asking him, do you love me? Do you love me? Finally he said, he gave him the right word, you know, for love. He said, no, I love thee. I love thee. You know, right there. You know, there's no like in between there. Just kind of like I'm kind of fond of the world and kind of fond of the Lord. You know, nah. You can't serve. The Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. You're going to love the one and hate the other, or love the other and hate the one. You can't serve two masters. So you can't be in the middle of the road about salvation either. I'm going to tell you that. There's a lot of people out there. I think I got something else about it on here somewhere. But, you know, you see those bumper stickers out there, coexist. It's garbage. No. Jesus said, listen, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only way you can be saved. It's not through Muhammad. It's not through Buddhism. It's not through Hinduism. It's not through any other kind of ism that a person be saved. It's just Jesus Christ. It's it. We don't have to coexist with anybody. I mean, as far as, compromising on our salvation. I'm not saying we got to go in there and wipe everybody else out. Don't think like we do. But we got to lead them to Christ. Listen, it's not all okay. There's just one way. It's Jesus Christ right there. So you can't be in the middle of the road about salvation. You can't be in the middle of the road about sin. You can't be in the middle of the road about, Jesus Christ. And the second point, you know, missing the Savior there. I said that, you know, some of the disciples, they'd gone down to the grave early in the morning. And we know about Mary going down later on. Peter and John, they ran down there and they found the tomb was empty. And actually, Jesus even spoke to Mary. And they experienced the resurrected Christ. Now, look at the Emmaus Road disciples. They're down there in the middle of the road. They're going away from Jerusalem. They're sad. They're dejected. They're, you know, and listen, I see Christians today all over the place, man. That's whine, moan, groan, unhappy, discouraged, disgruntled, dragging around. Hope your face don't freeze that way. Just not happy. But boy, I'm telling you what, when he said, Mary, and she said, you know, where have you taken my Lord? She thought she was talking to the gardener. He said, Mary, boy, you know, her heart just, man, and it dawned on her. It dawned on her that this is Jesus, man. When Peter came down there, he looked in there and the grave clothes were empty. And later on, they were in the upper room and Jesus walked through the wall and he came in their midst. He said, man, touch me, feel me, look, it's me. Print my hand, put your hand in my side. It's me. Oh, man, all that defeat of the cross, what they thought was defeat, man, it was gone, and they had joy. Man, they was excited about the things of God they were excited about, but not these two guys. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I've been pastoring a long time, been church all over the place, and I'm going to tell you, more Christians look like those two Emmaus Road disciples than they do look like Mary, Peter, and John on the resurrected day. I'm just giving you the facts, you know. Huh? Amen. I'm just giving you the facts, right? I mean, that's it, you know. Huh? The old heads over there. I'm telling you, that's how it is. Now, why is it? You got to ask yourself, why is that? I'm going to tell you in just a second. I'll give you the punchline here in a minute. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But they experienced the resurrected Christ firsthand themselves. They were jacked up about Jesus. I thought about getting a t-shirt that said it. They were jacked up about that. But these disciples somehow missed it. They were living on the memory of a dead Christ instead of in communion with the living Lord. They missed that. Now, to their credit, what I do like about these guys, they were troubled about the state they were in. I mean, they talked about it. They were talking about it. They were troubled about it. So many people are just satisfied with the place they're at in their Christian life. They are. They're just satisfied. They don't really experience the joy of living in the power of the resurrected Christ. They're kind of in the middle of the road. They haven't gone all the way back to the old life yet, but then they don't do anything about it. They just say, well, you know, I'm just happy, you know, right where I'm at, which is really not a happy place to be. But, you know, the problem is they've never experienced what the happy place is really like, haven't got to that place where the power of Christ in their life, they haven't got there yet, so they don't know what they're missing. It's like when you taste honey, you know what it tastes like. And you want that. And so they haven't done that. They were troubled about it. And they weren't resigned, and too many folks are resigned to live that way. You know, they believe the fundamentals of the faith. And a lot of folks do, but they live a cold, dead, indifferent, dejected, defeated life somewhere between where they used to be before salvation and somewhere between there and in communion with the resurrected Christ. And you know, a lot of Christians live in that way. They won't admit that they're one of these Emmaus Road disciples. They won't admit that. They just kind of think, well, you know, everything's really, it's really all right. You know, it's all right. You know, it's okay. There, you know, your house is burning down. Your pants leg can be on fire. Well, it's okay. Everything's all right. You know, everything's all right. It doesn't matter what happens. You know, arm falls off. It's all right. That's kind of like what's going on in Christian lives. To Christianity, it stinks. It's lukewarm. And everybody says, well, it's all right. Yeah, I'm all right. Look around. You try to compare yourself with somebody else, right? No, it's not all right. I don't think these disciples wanted to be the way they were. The key is, and they didn't have to be the way they were. But a lot of Christians are with them in the middle of the road. Their love for Christ has really gone cold. You don't want to admit that. Man, you don't want to say, man, I used to love the Lord a lot more than I do, but it's cold now. It's cold. It's like any other thing with God. You know what? To get the problem corrected, you just got to confess it. It is. It's not what it used to be. It's not what it used to be. You've got to confess that you've lost your joy, the joy that you used to have in your salvation and in serving God and in worshiping God, dragging along just down the middle of the road. You got to see yourself there with them. And the third point is, though, they had a meeting with Christ. And when Jesus showed up, they didn't recognize him. He was talking to them, and I'm going to tell you, a personal experience with Jesus Christ is a cure for what ails you there. You know, because not all, while these disciples were sad and in the middle of the road and in the middle of doubt, the other disciples were excited and joyful. They were renewed. But I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't doing them any good. See, the reality of the resurrection, it existed and it exists now. It exists today. Jesus is just as resurrected today as he was on that day. It exists for everybody today, but not everybody's experiencing. Just like these two guys right there. They hadn't experienced. And I want you to see this. I can't have a relationship with Jesus Christ for you. Amen. Huh? You can't neglect God all week long, never read your Bible, never pray, never do anything with God, come in here on Sunday and expect me to get you to the place that you need to get to. I can lead the way, but I can't drag you down there. You know, you have to experience Christ for yourself. You know, somebody else in the church, every now and then we get some people excited. We got a few people excited about the things of God. It doesn't do you a bit of good if for them to be excited. I mean, it's good for them to be excited. We like to see it and all that. But they're the ones with the joy. They're the ones with the excitement. You have to have it for yourself. It doesn't do a bit of good for just them, those other ones to know. And so you have to experience that relationship with the resurrected Christ. And the Bible says there, and I didn't read all that in the Emmaus Road story, but you could read it yourself, but Jesus came and He walked with them. And you look what Jesus did. He shared with them the Word of God. The exact same Word that we have. Actually, we got more than He had at the time. Not more than Jesus had, but more than God had revealed to man at the time. We got more of the Word than they had. He began with Moses, it says. The Old Testament, by the way. So many people say, oh, that's in the Old Testament. We talked about that in Sunday School Hour. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. Hey, breathing started in the Old Testament, and I'm glad I'm breathing. Breathing started. It's in the Old Testament. He started with Moses. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. When Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, he preached out of the Old Testament Scriptures, Jesus Christ. When Jesus defeated the devil with three verses from Deuteronomy when He was out in the wilderness, He defeated him there. Listen, how do you walk with Jesus? How do you meet the Savior? How do you defeat the devil, the flesh, the world, depression, coldness, deadness? I'll tell you how. It's the Word of God. That's the only way you can do it. It's got to be the Word of God, or it's nothing else. And what happened? It says this. It said, did not our hearts burn? Did not our hearts burn as He spoke to us there? They had a heartburn. But it was a holy heartburn. You know, it was a good thing. Their hearts got stirred. Listen, it doesn't matter, man. I could come up here and start telling you some sad story and start crying. You'd be crying all over the place. I get up here and tell you something funny, start laughing, you start laughing. You ever seen anybody just laughing really hard, and you don't even know what they're laughing about, and you start laughing? You ever see that? You're like, what are you laughing about? You're going, what are you laughing about? They're laughing at me. It happens all the time with our family. What are you laughing about? You know, look in the mirror. No. You know, you're laugh. It's just how our emotions work. But see, that's just emotional. It's really on the outside. It's not inside. It's the Word of God. See, the Word of God was, you know, they thought that Jesus was crucified and that was it. The Word of God that got him excited was, because when he preached in Old Testament Scriptures, he was telling them about how, hey, the Savior was supposed to be crucified, buried, and raised on the third day. That's what they were telling them. It just hadn't sunk in. They were good Baptist folk. It didn't sink in right away. And he kept telling them that. And man, listen, it stirred their hearts. You know, too many folks today are shaky about what they believe and not shaken by what they believe. Man, I mean, they got stirred there about that. And in verse 29, they said this. They didn't know who He was yet. They said, abide with us. They constrained Him and said, abide with us. Boy, that's dynamite in three words right there. Abide with us. I want to tell you this. Get this point if you don't get nothing else. It's not enough that Jesus stirs our heart. It's not enough to see the Lord in the Scriptures. But we need His abiding presence all the time. Huh? They said they invited Him. Listen, they invited Jesus into their lives and into their homes. And I'm going to tell you something, man. This is something that the world needs and Jesus Christ needs. Listen, man, I've mentioned those people that got killed. Man, that was a terrible thing. I hate it, man. I hate it for their families. I think about the heartbreak of those families right there. And you know, everybody wants to holler about gun control. Listen, man, we got laws against murder already, and the laws don't do a thing for the condition of the man's hearts, the people's hearts. It's the problem with man is the condition of their heart. And until we start having Jesus Christ abide in us, and then listen, Christian folks, this is on you, abide in our homes. Jesus, we just can't come flopping in here on Sunday morning and we're going to sit there with our arm around Jesus for an hour while the preacher preaches and then say, see you later when you leave and go out the door. And if you come back on Sunday night, well, I'll sit with Jesus again for another little hour here. And then I'll come back on Wednesday night and sit with Jesus. And then the rest of the time, where's He at? I mean, we got Him in a little bottle, you know. We got everything. We got, you know, because today we're so categorized or so organized. You know, we got organizers. Your phone buzz. 12 o'clock, I'm going to hear people's watches out there beeping because I'm supposed to quit preaching. And I'm going to, in 12 o'clock. You know, you got everything. You got calendar in your phone, a little reminder. People's phones will go up and say, oh, that's a little reminder I'm supposed to. We got everything categorized. Even we try to categorize Jesus Christ in our life. Oh, it's time for Jesus. Maybe we'll call the whole new ministry. It's time for Jesus Hour at Valley View Baptist Church. 11 a.m. sharp, we'll be with Jesus. And at 12:05, we'll be dismissed and, you know, time for Jesus is over. No, you got to take Jesus with you everywhere you go. He's got to be there. And they wanted him to. They said, you know, abide with us. They didn't even know it was him yet, but boy, they knew their hearts were burning. They knew something was different when he spoke to them about the scriptures, and they constrained him. You know what constrained means? That means that they were passionately, almost forcibly about him staying with them. They had him by the arm. They're saying, please stay with us. See, a lot of us say, well, you know, we'd like Jesus to stay with us. We'd like Jesus to abide with him. That's my granddaughter crying, by the way. She's getting fussy. But they would like for Jesus to be with them. But they're not passionate about it. Boy, you know, I wouldn't mind having a closer walk with Jesus. But, you know, there's a whole lot of difference in just saying, well, I wouldn't mind having one. And then saying, you know what, I want it so bad, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to just beg Jesus Christ to come fill me with His Spirit, come into my heart. And I want to, you know, I just want to be where God's people are. There's a difference. They constrained him. And then it says in verse 33, after he talked to them on the way, he opened up the scriptures to them. And it says their eyes were opened. It says they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole scripture right there, because before they were tired, they were defeated. You know how it is when you get depressed, you get tired, you want to stay in bed. They were defeated. They said, turn in, we're going to go to sleep. Man, Jesus stirred their heart. He opened up the scriptures to them. They realized it's resurrected Christ. Guess what? They rose up the same hour and said, we're heading back to Jerusalem. We're not waiting until the morning. We're doing it now. Going back now. Remember, they were in the middle of the road, halfway between Emmaus and Jerusalem, the place of the resurrected Christ, the old life. We're going back to the place of the resurrected Christ. Immediately. They said, well, we'll think about it. You know, do it later, tomorrow. Put it off, you know. You know, my mama used to always say, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. I used to be a smart aleck and say, well, why not put off tomorrow what I can do today? Let's do it. But, you know, here's a serious thing. And they had that kind of experience that wanted them to, they were excited. Man, you get excited. You know, you've been so excited you can't sleep. They wasn't tired, man. They said, man, they wanted to run back. They didn't know that all the other disciples knew that Jesus Christ had resurrected. Guess what they wanted to do? Man, they wanted to run back and tell everybody about it, man. They were evangelists. They went back and they're heading back to that place of the resurrected Christ, and they were getting out of being in the middle of the road. Man, it doesn't get any better than this. And Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. You know, I believe I can apply that to a saved person or a lost person as well. Listen, Jesus is calling the lost. Listen, if you're not saved, I'm going to tell you something. If you're not sure about your salvation, I always say, you know, listen, Satan makes us doubt our salvation. He does. At other places. But I always said this, and I always thought this in my mind, that when a person sat under the preaching of the word and you get in church and y'all made an effort to come today and you're here, if he is really doubting your salvation very heavily today, that's probably the Lord speaking to you about that. Amen. That's probably the Lord. I know Satan can get to us, but I just think that the Holy Spirit deals now, you know, is dealing there. And Jesus is calling people that are lost to listen and experience him personally, the resurrected Christ. I mean, that's why we preach, you know. That's why my church of people, you know, a lot of the people, you've been here a real long time. You know, when I got saved, you know, somebody came to my house on Thursday night. I grew up, I always believed there was a Jesus. I always believed it. I just grew up in that kind of time. I didn't even know what an atheist was. I just believed there was God. I believed in Jesus. But I did not know that he died for my sins. And I had never asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart verbally, ask him to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. So I did. I knelt down there by my living room couch on Thursday night visitation. And on Sunday, I went down there and let the church know that I got saved and I got baptized right away, but pretty soon, a few weeks later. But I just, you know, never had asked Jesus Christ to. And the pastor showed me that, you know, if we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, you know, and believe that he had resurrected from the dead, we'd be saved. And I said, man, if that's what you have to do, that's what I need to do. I believe he's calling And listen, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus Christ died for everybody. But I'm going to tell you what, this whole world out here isn't experiencing salvation. They're not experiencing the resurrected Christ, and they don't even want to believe it, or they don't hear it, or somehow they're missing it somehow, but the opportunity's there. And we're here. And I believe that God, listen, is also calling the middle-of-the-road Christian to come and have a new experience of the living Christ, one that's true to the Scriptures, one that stirs our hearts, ones that shows up at home, ones that sends us to tell others about it. Listen, he's calling us out of the middle of the road, I'm telling you. He's knocking at the door, man, but I'm going to tell you, you got to open the door and, you know, constrain him to come in and you know, just get out of the middle. Why experience have a halfway Christian experience or a halfway salvation experience when you can have the whole thing? Amen. Why not? Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. God spoke to your heart today, and we'll have an invitation.